It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski will visit with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Underwriting for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and the stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there's so much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, trust you're having an excellent winter, and we, like you, await the signs of spring. I'm pleased to welcome you to the February 2014 edition of our show. We feature Northwest faculty members Dr. Himadri Chakraborty and Dr. Michael Hull, who will discuss Northwest's nanoscience program. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. I'm being joined now by Dr. Himadri Chakraborty. He's an associate professor of physics at Northwest Missouri State University. He obtained his Ph.D. in the Physical Research Laboratory in India. He has been a guest scientist at the Max Planck Institute in Dresden, Germany. His areas of expertise include nanoparticle and nanostructured surface physics, intense and ultrafast optics, and atomic and molecular physics. Dr. Michael Hull is an assistant professor of chemistry at Northwest Missouri State. He has his Ph.D. in chemistry from the University of Notre Dame. Michael's area of expertise include organometallic chemistry, manipulation of air and moisture-sensitive chemicals, single crystal X-ray diffraction, and structural elucidation, also small molecule synthesis. So, listeners, we only have a few minutes to talk to these gentlemen, but there's a lot for us to visit with both Michael and Himadri. Welcome, gentlemen, to All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
Well, let's start first with, we talk about nanoscience and nanoscale science. Can you guys put that in a context for our listeners? They're at home and saying, I've heard that term, but what does it really mean?
Well, the way I describe it is a lot of times people have a sense of bacteria and microbes and a little bit of the world of biology. And then there's a little bit of perspective on the world of chemistry, which involves atoms and molecules and electrons. And if you think about getting smaller than the world of biology, smaller than cells and bacteria, or getting larger than the world of atoms and molecules, where those two realms intersect with each other is the realm of nanoscale science.
And Himadri, anything else?
Yeah, well, add? I just want to add that the reason this stream of science has become important recently because enormous advent in technology. We are able to manipulate and maneuver the size, which is about 1/1,000,000th of a meter, and which is about a nanometer. I mean, that's
1/1,000,000th
of a meter, which is, if you take one of your hair, the thickness of the hair, it's 1/1,000,000th of the thickness of one piece of your hair. And since there are a lot of energy that we can extract from that small size, it's worth to look into finding new source of smart energy using those, you know, what in the nano world they call smart materials. So that's one of the big reason why it is essentially related to the historical revolution in the experimental technology.
And how long has the field been around?
Well, I'd say it was there a long time ago, but at the theoretical realm. You know, people like Richard Feynman about 30 years ago, or maybe roughly about 25 years ago, said that there is lot of space down there. What he meant by that is going down in dimension, which at that time the technology was not able to attend. He speculated that if we ever be able to go to that nanostructure level, we should be able to harness a lot of energy out from there. So that has long been predicted, but it's only maybe, I would say, about last 15 years or so we have started actually looking into that dimension.
Long time with regard to theory, but certainly a very new field in terms of study and application. And Michael, talk about that. We'll talk about Northwest program in a minute, but talk about the application, the practical application this field could yield over time, whether it be for, you know, energy purposes or airplane, whatever the applications are.
Yeah, we see applications basically across all disciplines. So we see it in medicine, we see it in the pharmaceutical industry, healthcare. We also see it in areas of safety, stronger materials, whether it's we're looking at Boeing using carbon nanomaterials for their new Dreamliner to make it lighter and stronger and safer, or even in consumer products where we want our smart devices to be smaller, have longer battery life, compute faster. And all the kind of technological breakthroughs, whether it's in medicine or consumer products or transportation, these advances are coming as a result of nanoscale developments, nanotechnology.
So the applications are endless, and so if I'm a student thinking about the field or someone wanting to come back to school, you know, whatever my field of study is or my field of interest, this is something that's going to be around for quite a while. And at Northwest, we teach it. So let's talk about Northwest's and our Northwest role in terms of why students would come here. What do they learn when they go into the program of nanoscience?
Yeah, the way we've structured the nanoscale science program is to be very interdisciplinary. We're convinced that the problems that our society is facing today, technological problems, medical problems, and so on, the answers to those challenges won't come from a single discipline of science. It won't just come from biology or just come from chemistry or just come from physics. But the answers to those problems will come at the interface of those sciences. And so we've developed the nanoscale science to be an interdisciplinary program between biology and chemistry and physics together. And so when our students come here in the nanoscale science program, they get a really solid interdisciplinary foundation in those fundamental sciences, as well as courses in nanoscale science specifically. So a solid interdisciplinary foundation, as well as with the kind of core expertise.
And Hamadri, can you talk about some of the technology and the instrumentation that we offer that a student would come in and really be able to take advantage of in their field of study?
Yeah, I mean, we have this brand new Center of Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and the whole host of spectroscopy or nanomaterial characterization machines, biological characterization machines that we have, these are all brand new machines and top generation machines. And this kind of technology you would not see even for the bigger school who are particularly the engineering departments who are offering this nano kind of program. So that is a big advantage for our students here. They have access to the kind of technology which typically the prerogative of the graduate students in bigger schools. That is one big thing. And then another thing we can talk about is, I mean, as far as the instruction is concerned, we will hear the faculty members who are teaching these nanoscience courses are all undergraduate teachers, as opposed to the graduate school where maybe a graduate teacher will come down and give an undergraduate course, and there could be always a problem to the level they need to teach an undergraduate student. So here the real expert undergraduate teachers will be teaching the undergraduate students as opposed to a graduate school. So that's...
So I assume that's one of the unique advantages of our nanoscale science program here at Northwest as opposed to some other program throughout the country. Is that right?
I would say so,
yes. One of the reasons that Northwest is a winning ticket is that we have these excellent, excellent facilities, which includes cutting-edge instrumentation. and faculty with expertise in the areas that they're teaching. So you get all the excellence that you would at our peer institutions or even other institutions, and yet it's accessible. Our students get upfront, up close interaction with their faculty and with the instrumentation. I liken it when I was a kid and you would go to the museum and there was always these red velvet ropes that you couldn't cross when you would to go see the Tyrannosaurus Rex or that sort of thing. And there's no red velvet ropes here at Northwest. I mean, we emphasize hands-on training for our students. Students can come in one-on-one, get mentorship from the faculty in their area. So when you take excellence and accessibility and the emphasis on undergraduate teaching, that kind of that threefold cord really is what makes Northwest program stand out.
What a combination. And we talk a lot about hands-on opportunities at Northwest, and that's a great. I haven't really thought about that red velvet rope and, you know, stay away. And here at Northwest, we embrace and say, bring it on. And as long as you're an engaged student, let's get after it, you know, from the time that you walk in. So we embrace that. We talk a lot about college completion and getting students through the pipeline, so to speak, whether it be undergraduate or going on to their graduate degree, et cetera. But from a career point of view, a lot of people across the country are concerned a couple of things. You know, one, if I send my son or daughter to college, you know, what happens when they finish? So go into nanoscale science. What happens when I finish the program and I've had my hands on opportunities with some excellent faculty and some great equipment?
Yeah, so our graduates typically will go one of three routes. A lot of our students will go directly into industry. You know, they came here for their bachelor's, they finish with their bachelor's, and they go on out into industry. That can include, you know, laboratory technician positions, quality control, research and development. A lot of manufacturing industries will have within their facilities, even if they're manufacturing, will have laboratory controls, and they need scientists for those positions. So probably the major path that our students take is in industry. Second route our students take would be into government. This would be things like the Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Natural Resources. Again, taking the science that they've learned and applying it to, say, you know, what happens when nanomaterials get out into the environment and into the waste system and that sort of thing. And then the third kind of common route that our students take is many of them go on to graduate school. They'll go on to master's programs or in the sciences, even more commonly, go on to PhD programs. And we've placed students at Vanderbilt and in this region, K-State and KU and Iowa State, but also places like University of New Mexico and University of Utah and in PhD programs in nanomaterials and chemistry and physics. So those are kind of the three common places that our students go, and we find that they're very competitive for those positions, and if they can take the success that they've established here and build upon that when they go on out into their jobs or into further education.
And can we talk about some of the research that goes on here at Northwest Missouri State as well? Because, you know, what's exciting to me is as a student that might have some so-called, we've talked on this program previously about STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and math, and, you know, woe is us, students aren't as excited about STEM, say, for example. But in a previous program a couple months ago, we talked about the ability for students to get jazzed up, to get psyched up about STEM. So it's not just coming in and getting that hands-on experience and the teaching, the real-world teaching experience and exposure to, as you said, Michael, you know, one of three tracks, essentially, but also some research that's being conducted. So let's talk about that.
So one of the things we would like to say about the experience, the educational experience our students going to have here is they are going to be involved or engaged in undergraduate research activities. And that would often end up having paid summer research, full-time research positions for the students. We do have National Science Foundation-sponsored research program in Northwest in nanophysics stream. There are a couple of faculties I'm aware they are working on getting some external federal funding for nanochemistry, the nanoparticle characterizations and things like that. and there would be paid student positions for this thing. So our students are really going to get some particular edge compared to other places by being directly involved into the research program. And given the kind of equipments, these cutting-edge instruments that we got, it can only get better in time. So
it's pretty obvious the opportunities are endless. Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV, KRNW. Michael, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to kind of brag about my colleagues a little bit. I mean, of course, Dr. Chakraborty has done some really insightful work in nanophysics. Dr. Riley was in the pharmaceutical industry for about 15 years before she joined our faculty, and so she's looking at using nanomaterials for drug delivery, bringing her pharmaceutical experience in that. Dr. Meziani is working on carbon nanotubes and nanomaterials. Dr. Islam works with polycystic kidney disease and has funding from the National Institutes of Health. And so when we think about students and preparing them to be the future scientists, we're taking a holistic approach, giving them the theoretical knowledge in the classroom, the application knowledge in the laboratory, developing them as communicators, written and in speaking, and then also exposing them to solving new problems where they can't just look it up in a book. So coming into these research opportunities, whether it be in biochemistry or nanophysics.
A crown jewel for those interested in the field, and obviously through the teaching, the research componentry, and especially exposure to faculty across so many fields, including the interdisciplinary realm. Let me ask both of you, so how did you get interested in nanoscale science?
Well, I was, my PhD dissertation was on AMO, atomic molecular and optical physics. And then I moved to Europe, and I was in Max Planck Institute, Dresden, physics of complex system. And when I went there, I figured that people are more worried about bigger systems than atoms and molecules. And I got interested in some of those projects. People have been working there, and with some of my already learned tools in AMO physics, I was able to figure out, okay, so here's a place where I can use my knowledge, but completely different set of systems. I got interested in that, and then it has been all the way pretty nice for me. I mean, that's my, that's how I got entrapped into this stream of science. And it's fun because you can actually work in collaboration with the experimentalists, because this is something which the material scientists are also very interested in. So you make a computational simulation, make some predictions, and you would always find some bunch of groups all over the world are interested to try to check or test your predictions, or then if they come up with some spectroscopic result, you compare and you realize that the understanding is now full. So, yeah.
That's a great story, Hamadri. I just want to make sure that our listeners didn't hear. You're not trapped, but you got entrapped in that. It's a great, great story. Michael, how'd you get involved in nanoscale science?
Well, I think for me it was a little more philosophical than that. I mean, I'm trained in a very traditional way as a chemist, and basically purely chemistry. And yet when I look at where both the needs of our society are at and also where our fields are moving, I see that this kind of silo approach where I'm only a chemist isn't going to be enough. And so I really have bought into this belief that it's that interdisciplinary approach that's going to solve those problems. And so I was excited when I came here as a faculty member to be a part of a program that maybe dismantles some traditional walls between biology and chemistry and physics and says, let's combine here and see what kind of new insights we can. And so that's really what attracted me to nanoscale science.
Okay, well, it's, just sitting here listening, it's so intriguing. And, of course, I'm a little closer to the field, but for our listeners' sake, I'll say, I get psyched up listening to you guys and say, man, I'd love to be in that classroom. How would one find out more about the program?
There's several avenues. They can certainly go to the Northwest website and search for nano or nanoscale science. In fact, if they just go to our website, nwmissouri.edu, and just add /nano, it'll take them to our homepage, which tells all about our program. they could certainly contact any of us. I'd be open. You can send me an email, mhall@nwmissouri.edu, or again, just search the webpage or give me a call. I'm always happy to meet with prospective students or students and their family want to come. We can show them the labs, talk about the courses that they would take, show them the facilities. And I regularly sit down one-on-one with prospective students and talk about the program. And whether that's over the phone or in person or over a cup of coffee, that door is always open for that.
Well, those are all opportunities and avenues that we encourage our listeners, whether you're someone that's just intrigued by this field of study or someone that has a loved one that has an emergent interest. One last question as we begin to close this portion of All Things Northwest. There is that little mantra across this country and perhaps beyond about, you know, are we getting enough familiarity, love, and passion for science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM disciplines? What's your guys' viewpoint of that? I mean, do you sense that there's some passion out there and that people are coming through that pipeline? Or what do we have to do to make sure that we embolden the passions?
Well, I can give you a little bit of statistics. There have been some slump in the physics interest over the last, you know, just about 2 or 3 years before. But if you look at the current American Physical Society statistics, they have already started seeing some increase in the interest among young people in physics. And I would assume, though I have not seen the statistics, that would be true with chemistry and biology. One of the reasons could be the outreach, public outreach, different American Physical Society are trying to put across. And I also have a little bit of personal or private experience. Through my son, who is a ninth grader and terribly interested in math and science, and I have come across some of his friends in his class. And I found that they have a lot of questions. They have a lot of inquisitiveness. They work with the smartphone. They work with some video games console. And they always come up with questions that how did the designers do it this way, that way, and so on. And whenever they know that I'm a scientist and I work in Northwest Science Department, they have more questions for me. So I have really seen people are getting very interested. We just have to properly, you know, harness their interest in a more disciplined and organized channel in order for them to finally end up to an institute and become an accomplished, creative science person and contribute to the society. So that is where the role of our, you know, teachers and the, you know, the parents and other people who could guide them becomes important.
Sure. Michael, anything to add to that?
Yeah, it's when we look at the kind of the status of STEM, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. There are major challenges that in that area, and yet there's a huge amount of capacity, potential. And I think at Northwest, we've embraced both the challenge and the potential of what can come out of the STEM disciplines. And it's just Northwest is the place for science. So students who want to be a part of the solution to the challenges of STEM, Northwest is the place to be. We're ready for you on our team. It's kind of like the Marines. They say the few, the proud. The Marines, we're like the few, the proud, the science majors. That's what we want.
Well, very well said. Hamadri, Michael, thank you so much for what you do, not just for Northwest Missouri State University, but certainly students and the discipline and the interdisciplinary nature of nanoscale science. Thanks for being part of All Things Northwest.
Thank you, John.
Underwriting support for All Things Northwest is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz.
Northwest Missouri State offers a variety of business majors. That's one reason senior international business major Michael McVenue chose to come to Northwest Missouri State.
The business program out here is really good. There's some smart people, people from all around the world that come here, great experience. Most of them have had business experience, so what better way to learn how to run a business than from someone that has been in a business?
McVenue will graduate December 2014.
Support for All Things Northwest is provided in part by the Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments, which offers programming, products, and services to its member governments in Atchison, Holt, Gentry, Nottoway, and Worth counties. More at nwmorcog.org.
Hi, I'm Ben Nully. Each month, All Things Northwest picks one community in the listening area and focuses on their accomplishments and views of how the community wants to better themselves in the future. We shine this month's community spotlight on Maryville and Nottoway County. I sat down with Josh McKim, who recently became the new Nottoway County Economic Development Director.
So first of all, tell me how it feels to be back in Maryville.
Well, you know, I did grow up here, graduated from Maryville High School, graduated from Northwest, met my wife at Northwest. So, yeah, this is home. I've still got a lot of family in the area, so it's great to be back up in Maryville. It's great to be home.
And can you explain some of the goals you have as the director? What are some of the things you kind of want to do this year or even the next couple of years?
What we are trying to do is we're looking at long-term economic trends and saying, okay, long-term, our region, not Maryville, but the region is losing population. That's a long-term economic trend that has to be addressed. And so we're looking at these long-term trends. Those are the goals we're going to be having long-term, is how can we change some of these trends that are negative economic trends for our region? How can we deal with that? So our long-term goals are going to be focused on that, and our short-term goals will all point to mechanisms or efforts to change the long-term. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to line up what we see as long-term issues that we've got to deal with and our short-term goals and short-term activities as an organization. So we're working very hard to do that. That's a little more challenging than it sounds, because what we're trying to do is, okay, so many times in communities, economic development becomes a catch-all, and you do everything. Well, you can't, as an organization, do everything and do it well. So we have to figure out what are the things and the items and the activities and the goals we need to focus our efforts and our limited resources on in order to have the biggest impact long-term.
And are there any advantages in this area? Can you talk about if there's any advantages around here that really might be able to bring people back to Maryville?
Well, it's a great community for one. It has a great atmosphere. It's a great place to raise children. You know, all those things are true about Maryville. But if you're looking at just on the economic side, the economic development side, the economic side, it is centrally located between major markets. As you look at Kansas City, you look at Omaha, and you look at Des Moines, it's centrally located between all of those. So it's center of some major markets. That's always a good thing. As far as some of the other advantages, having Northwest in the community is a huge advantage that sometimes we don't always realize in a college town. But really, in the future, those communities that can effectively tie into universities, colleges, higher education are those communities that are going to thrive in the 21st century. As we move further into it, that's going to be a bigger and bigger thing. And so having that university here and having the mentality that the university seems to have about being engaged in the community, being engaged in economic development, is really going to be a powerful tool for our community, for our county going forward.
So you mentioned the university is an advantage. Can you talk about how the NCED works with the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship?
We do work with CIE quite a bit. Larry Lee has been tremendous. He serves on my board. He's got me on a committee or two to help out there with some of their activities. So, you know, we have a great relationship. I've had a great relationship with the university and the CIE. I look forward to having a great relationship going forward. I really do believe that facility is a big asset for this community. The vision of engaging the university with business and engaging them in some ways a joint venture is a fantastic vision, and I know they're moving in the right direction, and having Larry out there at that leadership and his rich wealth of experience in that and commercializing activities, we really are fortunate to have him and to have that facility.
That was Josh McKim, the new Nottoway County Economic Development Director, talking with me on this month's Community Spotlight on All Things Northwest.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Dr. Hamadri Chakraborty and Dr. Michael Hull. I also thank our producer, Ben Nelly, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Jasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV, KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More on Facebook at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Noley. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.